Governor Gary Herbert signs the special session bills into law. Former Governor Mike Leavitt says he doesn't want to see the Affordable Care Act fail. And Utah's unemployment rate goes up. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Monday, July 22nd. I'm Brian Grimmett. Governor Gary Herbert signed legislation from the Utah Legislature's special session last Friday. Two bills exempt the committee investigating Utah Attorney General John Swallow from some open records and public meetings laws. Another gives the committee authority to issue subpoenas and offer immunity to witnesses. The governor also signed two other pieces of legislation that came out of the session, a $3 million payment to settle claims over a failed 1997 land purchase by the state, and a measure repealing a 2013 law restricting some federal officers from enforcing local laws.
Good morning. For KUER News, I'm Andrea Smartin. The Affordable Care Act, better known as Obamacare, is about to be a reality. The U.S. is less than 3 months away from open enrollment. The individual mandate requiring that every American have health insurance goes into effect on January 1st. President Obama's political foes and even some in his own party have speculated that when these deadlines hit, the Affordable Care Act is bound for failure. Utah's former Governor Michael Leavitt has a unique perspective on this. Leavitt served as Secretary of Health and Human Services under President George W. Bush, and he led the effort to roll out Medicare's new prescription drug benefit known as Part D. Governor Leavitt recently wrote an opinion piece in the Washington Post about the lessons he learned from Medicare and how to apply them to Obamacare. Governor Leavitt, some have said the implementation of the Affordable Care Act could be a disaster. But what does that mean? How might people be affected?
It's a very complex set of tasks that have to be accomplished in a very short time. Computer programs that manage millions of records have to be able to exchange data in a flawless way. Millions of people are going to be applying to get subsidies and will have to have information about their income that could be validated. So when people have expectations that a certain benefit's going to be delivered and it's not, and they're disappointed, that creates unrest. And obviously this is being done in a period where there's substantial political opposition. Political opponents will seize on failures, and it's a dangerous time for the Obama administration.
And you wrote in the Washington Post that a majority of Americans lack awareness about the law and the changes it will bring. So why don't people know about the Affordable Care Act, and what does it take to inform them?
My concern was that they have done an insufficient job in being able to prepare people. Now, they still have time. There's still things they can do. And people will become aware of it and will seek information. So I'm not suggesting at this moment in time that it's a certainty that there will be difficulty, but I think they're behind the curve and behind schedule.
Let me ask you this. There are many in Congress, including Utah's delegation, who've been trying to tear down the Affordable Care Act, repeal it, fight it every step of the way. If there are people who are actually hoping and waiting for Obamacare to fail, is there a point when that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy? In other words, if Utah's leaders don't get behind this, are they working against whatever possible success it might have?
The same situation existed with Part D, except the parties were opposite. The Democrat Party had not passed Part D, and hence they did, frankly, everything they could to predict its failure and did nothing to try to help until it became clear that it was a popular benefit and that the systems were starting to work, and then things began to turn around. Now, will history repeat itself? I don't know. In large measure, that'll depend on how the administration prepares and how they respond to problems. I opposed, personally, the Affordable Care Act. I still think it's a law that could be better written. However, I'm not rooting for a train wreck because real people get hurt, not just political parties or politicians. And so it's important that the administration carry out its duties. It's also then incumbent on the political figures, if they oppose it, to make changes. Hopefully what we learn in that process will make the American healthcare system better, not worse.
Governor Leavitt, thank you very much for sharing your experience with us.
You're welcome.
Michael Leavitt served as Secretary of Health and Human Services under President George W. Bush. He's the founder and chairman of Leavitt Partners, which advises and invests in healthcare organizations and provides consultation on the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. I'm Andrea Smartin for KUER News.
Utah's unemployment rate rose slightly to 4.7% in June. That's still much lower than the national rate, which is still over 7%. The Department of Workforce Services says Utah's economy is still growing, but the rate went up because more people are looking for work. The Utah legislature tried earlier this year to clarify one of Utah's unusual liquor laws, the prohibition on restaurants serving alcohol unless the patron is ordering food. Now the state's liquor board is considering a rule requiring servers to get verbal confirmation that restaurant patrons intend to order food. Critics say the rule is silly and creates awkward situations. Defenders of the regulation say it keeps restaurants distinct from bars. A wildfire burning near Spring City led to voluntary evacuations yesterday. About 50 homes and cabins were affected. The Deseret News reports the Aspen Springs fire had burned about 30 acres before it slowed down last night. A 2,600-acre wildfire is burning in the northwestern corner of Utah. BLM crews have it at about 30% contained. Joe Thurston, one of the 19 firefighters killed in Arizona last month, was honored in his hometown of Cedar City over the weekend. The event was attended by firefighters from many agencies in Utah and Arizona. It included a barbecue, a raffle, and a bake sale to raise money for Thurston's wife, Marcina, and his two young sons, Colin and Ethan. Thurston was remembered as a relentless worker who was protecting citizens when he died. The Animal Legal Defense Fund says it will challenge a Utah law that prohibits undercover filming at agricultural operations. The so-called ag-gag law makes it a misdemeanor to trespass on private property to record images or sounds of a livestock operation. The law was invoked in a recent case where a 25-year-old vegetarian activist filmed the inside of a slaughterhouse, but the charge was dismissed because she was standing on public property when she took the video. A sponsor of the Utah law says it's all about private property rights. State Senator David Hinkins says nobody has a right to sneak onto his land. A fishing license in Utah costs $26 for anyone age 14 or older, but the latest proposal from the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources would give young anglers a break. From 14 to 17, they'd pay $16 for a 365-day license. Adults, on the other hand, would pay more, $34 for a 365-day permit. The Bureau of Land Management plans to remove only 1,300 wild horses and burros from the range across the West this summer because of budget constraints and overflowing holding pens. That's far fewer than it has in previous years. Most of the roundups will be conducted in Nevada, where about 37,000 wild horses and burros roam on public rangeland. The BLM is already holding 50,000 Mustangs taken off the range in previous roundups. The BLM announced its plans on Friday, about a month after 30 members of Congress urged the new Interior Secretary, Sally Jewell, to give higher priority to reforming the government's wild horse management program and its spiraling budget. 44 years ago, William Jones left his wallet behind in an apartment he'd rented in Tooele County. It languished in a storage unit for years until Tracy England Nelson spotted it and tracked him down. She's the granddaughter of the man who was Jones's apartment landlord in 1969. The Ogden Standard Examiner says Jones found IDs, family photos, and receipts in the wallet, including one that showed he paid $1,600 for a 1965 Mustang. And that is your KUER News Pod for Monday, July 22nd. For the latest news and updates from around the state, visit us online at KUER.org or follow us on Twitter at KUER News. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.